So good evening, everyone. We're going to begin with a halacha, which I think we alluded to before, and one which is surprisingly not observed. We'll talk about why in a moment. And that is the halacha that one is supposed to stand for their parents. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Chayv Adam la'amod mipnei aviv, and presumably huadin mipnei imo. The Gemara doesn't state explicitly how we know this, but we could derive it from a story in the Gemara which said that Rav Yosef would stand up when he heard his mother coming. In other words, even before he saw her, when he heard her coming, he would stand up. He said, Eka mikamei shechina, which is a point that we talked about in our very first shiur, the aspect of, I guess, the interaction and kibud avim being both bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveiro. And that is, of course, the halacha. Now, what are the details of the mitzvah of standing? What do I mean to say? When it comes to, for example, standing for a rav or a rebbe, so the halacha is that for a rebbe muvak, which is someone who teaches a person most of their Torah, which is quite rare nowadays, so then you would stand as far away as you see them. So even if I see my Rebbe Muvak 500 feet away, I would stand up. Whereas when it comes to a Rebbe She'eno Muvak, which is a teacher, but not someone who's taught you most of your Torah, and as I said, that is, I think, 99.9% of people nowadays don't have a Rebbe Muvak at all. So we usually go from one teacher to another teacher year after year. Fifth grade, one has a new teacher. Sixth grade, one has a new teacher. This halacha, by the way, presumably, Rav Avadia has a tshuva about this, it applies not just to male teachers, but to female teachers as well. So you have a new teacher every year, so it's not going to be very likely that you're going to have one teacher that has taught you a majority of your Torah. Be that as it may, when it comes to a Rebbe She'eno Muvak, the halacha is that you only stand up when they are within four amos, 6 to 8 feet. And there, same thing happens to be true for a zaking. If an older person comes within four amos of you, older person meaning above 70, we paskin that you should stand up, even if they're not a Torah scholar. So one stands up for a Torah scholar, again within four amos. One stands up for a teacher, even if they're Rebbe She'eno Muvak, within four amos. But for Rebbe Muvak, you stand up as far away as you see them. Now, what about a parent? Do we treat a parent like a Rebbe She'eno Muvak, or a parent like a Rebbe Muvak? Do you stand up when they're four amos away, or do you stand up when they're even very far away? So the post can bring a raya that it's like a Rebbe Muvak for two reasons. Number one, as we said, there was this story that Rav Yosef would get up even before he saw his parents. When he heard his mother coming, then you'd stand up. So you see from that story that it's not limited to four amos. And in general, as we've seen, the level of kavod one has to have for a parent is the very highest level, and therefore perhaps a Rebbe Muvak would be higher. There's an interesting halacha. The Gemara says, let's say you have two avedas to return. You have a lost object belonging to your Rebbe Muvak to return, Hashavas Aveda, or a parent. So who comes first? Let's imagine you could only do one. I could save one of the two things that are floating away in the river. So which one do I choose? So the halacha is you choose your Rebbe. Why? Zem evi'o l'chaye olam hazeh, v'zem evi'o l'chaye olam haba. Your parents bring you into this world. Your teacher of Torah brings you into olam haba. I think some of the mefarsha, maybe the Taz, points out, though, that if your parents paid for your tuition, so then you save your parents first. Why? because they're Mevil Chayla Mazeh and Olam Habat, because if they didn't pay your tuition, then your teachers would not have been able to teach you Torah. So the halacha, as we've seen in many places, is that the kavo due to a parent is very high, and therefore one would stand even when they are far away. And one of the reasons why you don't stand for a Rebbe Sheinim of when they're far away is it's not nicker, it's not obvious, you're not standing for them. But with a parent, since everybody knows, so it will be clear that when you stand up for them, even when they are very far away, one is doing that in order to show them honor. And that is what the Chai Adam Paskins. Chayv Adam La'amod Mipnei Aviv Be'imo Kimalei Komaso. First of all, you must stand fully. You know, not just, you know, one of those shuffles. The basis for that is from another sugya. Sometimes that's called hiddur. But when it comes to a parent, there are times that perhaps one only needs to do hiddur, not full-fledged kima. But for a parent, one should do full-fledged kima. And the Chai Adam says, "V'nira li didino kirabo muvak," that you have to do it even when they're very far away. Ad shiskasu imenu, oh, ad shiyeshvu. How long do you have to remain standing? Until they leave your presence, or they sit down. So if you see them coming from far away, you have to stand up. And let's say, you know, you see them from 500 feet away, and they don't, you know, you see them until they're 500 feet away, so you know, if it takes them 10 minutes to walk those 1,000 feet, you have to remain standing all 10 minutes. Ve'eno chayav lamod ella shachris varvis. However, you only have to stand up for them once in the morning and once in the evening. How do we know that? So that also is a halacha that's said with respect to one's Rebbe, and even Rebbe Muvak, which we extrapolate to here. Why is that? The Gemara says, we don't say that there you have to show more kavo to Rebbe Muvak, our parent, than the Shechina. And the Shechina, we stand up for the Shechina twice a day. It's actually unclear what that means. What do we mean we stand up for the Shechina twice a day? So Pashup Shad is it's referring to Shema. It doesn't mean standing for the Shechina twice a day, but we show honor to the Shechina by saying Shema, Shachris, and Arvith. So likewise, and we don't say you have to do it five times a day, there is. So too, you only have to show this honor to your parents twice a day, Shachris, Arvith. You might be referring to Shemona Esrei according to others. The problem is you're supposed to say Shemona Esrei three times a day. You have different answers to that question. One way or the other, just like you only have to stand up for your parents twice a day, once in Shachris and once in Arvis. Imlo b'fnei acherim. That if you're not in the presence of others. If you're in your own home, so you're sitting and eating breakfast, your parents walk in the morning, you stand up, and then later on, again, you'd stand up in the nighttime. That's because your parents see that you stood up once and there's nobody else around. But let's say you are now in the presence of other people. You're in shul, for example, and your mother or your father walks in. So then, other people don't know that you've already stood for your parents in the morning, and therefore you'd have to stand up for them many times a day if other people are around and are not aware that you already stood up for them earlier in the day. V'yeshomrim dafilu me'apamim b'yom chayev. And then the Chai Adam says, some opinions say you'd have to stand up for them even 100 times, which is interesting, then it's even more chamor than the other examples in Kavod HaRav. V'imhem ba'aliyah v'aben lamata b'karka ein tzarech lamod b'fnehem kevan shem b'rshus b'fnei atzma. So we said even though if they're very far away, you'd have to stand up for them, that's only if you're in the same rishus and you're in the same halachic area. But if they're on a different floor, or, you know, you're outside and they're inside or something like that, then you don't have to stand. Now, why is it that many people don't stand nowadays? So I think there's two causes. One aspect is it's ignorance. People don't realize that this is a halacha. But another reason is because many times a parent will be mochel. I think I mentioned to you that when I learned this halacha, I think I was in fourth grade, And my father came home from work, and I stood up for him. And they told me he doesn't want me to stand up. It makes him feel strange. So okay, if he asks me not to, then I'm exempt. We paskin that parents can be mochel on their kavod, but until they're mochel, then one in fact should stand and observe this halacha. Just a parenthetical point. It's sort of interesting that we find two parshios of kavod in the Torah. We have the parsha of honoring one's parents, and we have there the mitzvahs of kavod and yira. Then we also have the mitzvah of honoring Torah scholars and teachers and even old people. And there the Torah uses the mitzvah of kavod v'hidur, mipnei seiva takum v'hadarta pnei zaken. Which seems like there's two types of honor. Kavod v'yira are to one's parents. And you don't have to have that same type of thing to one's teachers. That's the Pasha Pshat. You know, the idea of Machilo, Mashkehu, Malbisho, Manilo is to parents, not to teachers. And then we have Kima Vidur, which is to teachers, Torah scholars, and old people, and not to parents. However, in many, many respects, including standing and including things like even taking care of them, we do learn from one to the other. But they are, interestingly enough, referred to in the Torah differently. Yes, you had a question. Yes. Yeah. I've seen it. I remember when I got married, I was not used to standing for my parents for reasons that I said, but my wife's family all stands for their parents. So I stand for my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. So I think, again, I don't know, you know, I don't know how widespread it is, but you know, they're definitely places where it's observed. We mentioned the story that Rav Yosef would stand up for his mother even before he saw her, when he heard her coming. So we actually see another halacha from there, which is a halacha relating to Sefer Torah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins and Resh Pei Beis base that if you hear a Sefer Torah coming, like you hear its bells, you should stand up even before you see it. And the Gra says the source is that story that we just mentioned. Okay, the next topic is the prohibition against hitting one's parents. Now, before we talk about hitting one's parents, yes?
Just about standing up.
Yes?
Yeah,
they could be mochel. So, before we begin talking about hitting one's parents, it should be stated that you're not allowed to hit anybody. There's a law in the Torah to hit anyone, Yisrael, and Chazal say even if you don't hit them, kol hamagbia yado lahakos es chavero, even without hitting them, you raise your hand to strike them, you're nikra rasha, as we see in the story with Moshe Rabbeinu. So hitting is always a bad thing, but when it comes to one's parents, it's even worse. And someone who hits their parent and is motzi dam, meaning to say they draw blood or cause a bruise or something like that, so they're chayav misa. The pasuk says, "Ma'ke aviv imo mos yumas." And even if you're not motzi dam, obviously it's still usher. So, in addition to being obviously mevatel kavod yira, you've done a terrible, terrible avera. And we see how severe it is. I think we mentioned last week the halacha that if a parent does something to provoke a child that might cause the child to hit them, the parent is in violation of lifnei iver. In fact, the Gemara says someone who hits their older kids, we're menadin oso, we excommunicate them. Why? Because they are doing this terrible avera of potentially causing their children to hit them. So, if you want to get an inkling about how chamor this is, so obviously the real reason is tzachi of misa. But the Arizal said that someone who did hit their parents and wishes to do tshuva, so he should first fast 26 consecutive fasts. And then, on each of these 26 days, he should get 26 malkos. And he has certain kavanos that you're supposed to think of when you get lashed and the like. I'm not saying that practically this is what you should do. I guess one should speak to a posek if one wishes to do tshuva. But it's something to be careful and cognizant about. When Rabbi Willig plays basketball in Marsha Kollel, so he insists that he's always on the same team as his kids. So that way, if somebody goes up for a rebound against him and accidentally whacks him, I've never heard of anyone doing that actually. But anyway, so at least if his kids were on the opposing team, so you could have a problem. That's the theory. Of course, I think some people point out the real reason is he wants to win. His kids are all very good at playing basketball. But. So obviously it goes without saying that hitting is a very bad thing, and we don't really need to discuss this halacha. But there are times that parents and kids roughhouse. And I think it's important for to keep in mind that that's something that can happen when roughhousing. The other context, though, this comes up is with respect to medical treatment. Let's imagine a parent needs some type of medical treatment, and let's say their son or daughter is a doctor, is a physician, and the parents want their son and daughter to do this treatment, and the treatment is likely to draw blood, either because, let's say, they're drawing blood or they're doing something else, which is likely to cause a chabura. So what's the halacha in this case? Now, there's no doubt that since the treatment is being done with the permission and even the request of the parent, that the child would not be nanashalav, he would not be punished. And it also goes without saying that if there is any situation of pikuach nefesh or the like, of course, we would have the child do this treatment because pikuach nefesh is docha kolatar kula. And even if the child was the most qualified or slightly more qualified, so just like we would say that in general, you should try to get a good doctor. So. You should, if your child is the best qualified to do this treatment, then it would be okay. The question is, what about if it's not true? In other words, it's, let's say, drawing blood, for example. So anybody could do it. Your son and daughter is able to do it. They're a doctor, they're a nurse, but, it's not like you can mess this up so much. And there are plenty of other qualified people to do it. But the parent prefers that the child do it. For example, it's cheaper, they won't charge, or it's easier, they happen to be around, it's a tircha to get another person to do it. The question is it permitted? So there's a story in the Gemara about Rav, when he had a splinter in his flesh, so he didn't allow his child to remove that splinter, because he was concerned that when removing the splinter, he might be motzi dam, he might cause his parent, he might cause Rav to bleed. And the child will inadvertently, b'shogeg, be over any iser of chovel be'aviv. So what does that mean practically? So there's somewhat of a debate among the poskim about this question. And according to the opinion of the Rif, the Rush, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, it's Aser. And according to the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Ramah, it seems to be Mutter. Again, even the lenient view says, ideally, you should try to avoid it. Ideally, you should get somebody else to do it. But the question really is, when it's significantly easier or cheaper for the child to do, is it permitted in that case? I'll read you what the Shulchan Aruch says. The truth is that there are some that claim that there isn't even a debate about this. The Mechaber and the Ramah aren't disagree. This is in Siman Reish Mem Aleph. So most of what we've been seeing is in Resh Mem, but this is in Resh Mem Aleph Sif Gimel. Hayakotz tachuv la'aviv, lo yotzienu shama yavo lasos bochabu. If there was a thorn or a splinter in the parent, the child shouldn't remove it, lest they cause a chavura. V'chein em humak izdam, o rofe, lo yak izdam la'aviv, v'lo yachtoch lo ever. Af al pi shemachavim l'refuah. So that's the lashon of the mechaber who says it's aser, even though the child's intending to treat the parent medically. And then the Ramah says haga b'med v'amamrim k'sheyesham acher la'asos. That's true when there's someone else around to do it. Avalim ein sham acher la'asos v'hu mitzdayer. But if there's no one else around and the parent is in pain, he has this coats in his finger. So then harei umakiz umoter lo kefima shir shehu la'asos. So it's mutter based off of what the parent allows. So the poskim adopt, as I said, a view somewhat in between, which is basically if you can avoid it, that is definitely possible. But if it would be exceedingly difficult to avoid, then one may treat their parent. Yes?
So in a situation where one's parent might not know this halakha, would a child be allowed or obligated to ask the other parent to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do in that case would be to say, it's better for me not to do it. Is it okay if you ask Ima or Abba to do it? And the like. And if that's not going to work, and there's nobody else to do it, so then the child could do it. Okay. So, for example, a shot. Shots might be a little better because, I guess, if done properly, there is no hotzas dam, there is no drawing of blood. Still, it's preferable to avoid because sometimes there is dam that comes out, but it's a little... A shot as opposed to, let's say, drawing blood is slightly better, but still, because I think when you give shots, right, you're supposed to get a little blood. So, anyone here? No? I don't know. Anyway, okay. We're turning from child to parent, the typical case, to now some less typical cases. So what about adopted children? So... here we have a shaila both mitzad, the child to his biological parents, as well as the question of the child to his or her adopted parents. So in terms of the biological parents, there still is a mitzvah kibud avim, because after all, they bore you. They are responsible for your being in the world. They are your parents. And though we talked about last week certain extreme exceptions, like where the parents are Rishayim or the like. But typically, one, if one knows who their biological parents are, they should be mechabed them. And even though they might say, well, look, you know, they didn't do anything for me. They put me up for adoption. But still, they're responsible for your being in the world, and hopefully a person's happy to be in the world. And as such, the right thing to do is to show them kavod and yirah. After all, they are your parents. What about towards the adopted parents? So technically speaking, there is no formal mitzvah of kibud av va'im because they aren't your parents. But obviously, mitzad ha-musar, and mitzad milas chasadim, and mitzad ha-karas ha-tov, they would certainly be obligated to be mechabed, their adopted parents, and to care for them and help them, and after they pass away, to say Kaddish, and the like. Along similar lines, when someone converts, so technically speaking, we have a rule, a principle, gershin is gayer kekaten shenola dami, which means that after you convert, you're not technically related to one's biological parents. And therefore, in the technical sense, there would be no mitzvah of kibud av va'em. But again, mitzad musar, and mitzad mils chasadem, and mitzad hakar satov, the right thing to do is to honor them and to care for them and to show them respect. After all, like we said, they are responsible for your being in the world, even if they are not technically included in the mitzvah kibud av va'em. I saw Rav Avadia says you could say a mishaberch for them, even if they're not Jewish. We shouldn't say v'soch shar chol Yisrael. And I saw Rav Avadia says you could even say Kaddish after they pass away. Ali'ilei nishmasam, even non-Jews, chasidi umos olam, have a chelek in olam haba, and the like. So sometimes there's a tshuva with Moshe about this. It's a little complex because the Moshe talks about a case where a child would want to visit his parents and care for them, but at the same time he's concerned about the chinuch of his own children. After all, his children's grandparents aren't Jewish, and perhaps he's concerned about exposing them to certain things, since that he would not otherwise want them to see. And Rav Moshe says you have to, you know, draw a balance. You can't visit them so infrequently that it would be considered kafui tov, but obviously a person does have to take into consideration the chinuch of his children, but one shouldn't act in a way that's kafui tov. Moshe talks about a case where I think the children lived in Eretz Yisrael and the parents are chutz laretz, and he says that if they're sick and they want to see him before they die, he should try to go visit them, even if it's expensive, if he's able to do so, and the like. Grandparents. So there's a mitzvah to be mechabed one's grandparents as well, not just parents, whether maternal or paternal grandparents. B'nei banim kibanim, we say, that the grandchildren are like children. The chiyuv, in a sense, goes in both directions. There's a special chiyuv on grandfather to teach his grandson Torah, just like there's a chiyuv on the father to teach his son Torah. It might not be the same level of chiyuv, but there's the obligation of the grandparents to the grandchildren is greater than their obligation would be to everybody. You have to teach Torah to everybody as well. But a parent is a special obligation, and a grandparent, perhaps somewhat less, also has a special obligation. That's why if grandparents could afford to chip in tuition, it's a good thing. But likewise, in the reverse case, there's a special obligation upon grandchildren to show kavod to their grandparents. Now, what does that include? So they should stand up for them, they should show them kavod, and the like. According to many poskim, the chiyuv is not as all-encompassing as it is for parents. So, for example, we talked about the extent to which a child has to care for his parents, especially if they're sick or in need of help. Machilo, mashkeu, malbisho, manilo, and how far-reaching that obligation is. So it might not be as far-reaching for grandparents, but still one should obviously show them kavod, though not the obligation is less than to parents. There's a debate in the poskim exactly how far this goes. This is a debate between the Rama and the Maharik. Do we say that the basis of the chiyuv of kavod for grandparents is a expansion of kibud av va'em, but it's medin kibud av va'em, in which case it would be more far-reaching? Or do we say, no, there's a general mitzvah to be mechabed chashuv people and older people and the like, but it's not technically part of kibud av va'em. The Rama writes in Simon Resh Mem, Sif Chaf Dalet, Yesh Omrim, De'en Adam Chayv B'chavot Avi Aviv, Ve'eno Nirali, Ela D'chayv B'chavot Aviv, Yoser Mekvod Avi Aviv. So that first Yesh Omrim is the Maharik, and as we said, it's not saying that you're not chayv at all, but it's not medin kibud avaim. And then the Rama himself says, no, you are chayv. It is an extension of kibud avaim, even though it's still true that there's precedence given to one's parents. But, for example, there would be no problem with grandchildren taking care of the medical needs of the grandparents, even if there's a chance that they would be motzi dam and the like. And likewise, if the grandparents are in the need of financial assistance, I don't know, it's my father calling. Maybe I should pick up. Mamish in the middle of a shir and kibud avaim. So, I think I didn't. The assumption that my father would really not want me to pick up in the middle of this year, especially since it's being recorded. I don't know. It's a good shayla. Think about that. Think if it was considered, a mezayon or any way not to pick up when a parent calls, then I would have to pick up. But since I think it's understood that when you call somebody, they're not going to pick up necessarily if they're engaged in something else. And certainly a Talmud Torah to Rabbim, so it's okay. What about stepfather or stepmother? So Chayev Adam to be Mechaved, stepfather and stepmother as well. We darshan it from a pasuk. It says, Kabed Savicha V'asimecha. So es avicha comes to include your father's wife, even if she's not your mother. Es imecha comes to include your mother's husband, even if she's not your father. Sorry, he's not your father. Certainly as long as one's mother and father are still alive, so then there is an inyan of kibud avaim there. Obviously, it's not the same degree as one's actual parents, but there is a mitzvah of kavod. And among other things, that's because it's an extension of honoring your parent. If I have a mitzvah to mechabed my mother, and if my mother were married somebody else, so part of being mechabed my mother is to be mechabed her husband. So, and likewise for a stepfather. Another thing we darshan from that extra word s is or v'es v'imecha, the extra vav, is l'rabos es achiv hagadol. You have to honor your older brother. Now, there's a debate among the poskim exactly what this includes. According to the Beis Lechem Yehuda, it's talking about the Bechor Dafka. But according to other poskim, I think most poskim, the Birka Yosef says this is most poskim, it would include all older brothers and sisters. So that means if you're the youngest child, there's a lot of people you have to be mechabed, potentially. At the same time, presumably all those older siblings are going to have a, like it or not, a big hand in raising you and taking care of you and helping your parents raise you, and therefore one owes them that hakar satov. There might be another reason as well, especially if you think it's tough than the bechor. But I won't go into that now. Now again, here too, it's not like kibud avim. It means to act with them towards derech kavod. If your other older brother taunts you and tells you, well, you must listen to me because it says you have to be chavid achicha gadol. Not sure how much you have to listen, but you should help them and show them honor as appropriate. Some poskim I saw in this, the Birka Yosef adds from Rabbeinu Yonah, therefore you should also show extra kavod to your uncles. Okay? Interesting. Yeah?
Does anyone say that this goes in two directions also, that like an older sibling might have an obligation towards the younger sibling?
I don't know formally, but some poskim do say that because they inevitably do, so that's why there is this aspect of kavod. Okay, so I think that brings us to the end of Kibud Av V'Em. As we've seen from the beginning, this is a incredibly difficult mitzvah and an incredibly important mitzvah. And as long as one's parents are alive, it's always something that could use chizuk. And actually, as we saw, there's even an aspect of Kibud Av V'Em La'achar Misasam. So it's something that that despite the difficulty, we must try to do. And one of the things I think you'll find from studying the halachos is, though, as we've seen, many aspects of the halacha are quite onerous. But at the same time, like is always the case, the halacha gives us a framework and helps us know the gedarim of what we need to do and what we don't need to do. And in a sense, that makes it much easier. So, in addition to finishing Kibud Av V'Em today, I hope we also have a chance to finish Rambam Hilchos Tshuva after quite a long run. We started this in Elul, so we got to see the final halachos of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, which is also the very end of Sefer Hamada. So the last thing we saw was Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam writes that what is the proper Ava that one has for Hashem? It is that one loves Him. He spoke very powerfully and even poetically, Ava Gedola Yisera Aza Me'od, an incredibly powerful love. Someone who loves Hashem is compared by Shlomo to someone who's lovesick. We learn from b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, a person should think about God, either consciously or at least subconsciously, all the time. And that this is an exceedingly high level, but one which one should strive for. Then we saw the Rambam writes that therefore, a person shouldn't do mitzvos because they hope to get rewarded or they're afraid of punishment, but they should do it lishma, and they should do it out of ava. They should do what's emes mepneshu emes. And the Rambam writes, v'od amru chachamim, b'mitzvosav chafetz me'od, v'lo b'schar mitzvos, sav. Chazal Darshan, this is a Gemara Avodah Zarah, that based off of the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yud Beis, so the Pasuk says, B'mitzvosav, in his mitzvos, Chafetz Me'od, he longed for a lot. And the Gemara Darshan, it's not the Schar Mitzvah, but the Mitzvah. We should love and desire to do mitzvos, not just to be rewarded for the mitzvos, not be motivated by the reward, but the mitzvah itself should be something that's chaviv aleinu. V'chein ha'yu gedolei ha'chachamim mitzavim l'nevonei talmideihem. The gedolei ha'chachamim would instruct their wise students, umaskileihem b'yichud. In other words, the Rambam here I think is saying they would instruct their wise students, but not all their students, because there's a danger in teaching this message to all the students. We'll talk about that in one moment. What would they instruct their wise students? So I see you all as my wise students. So I'm going to tell you the secret. And the secret is, Al tihiyu ke'avadim hamishamshim esarav al minas l'kabel pras. You shouldn't be like avadim who serve the master in order to get rewarded. Ela mipnei shehu harav ra'ui l'shamsho. But rather, because he's the Rav, or in this case HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's worthy to be Meshameshim, Kelomar, Ivdu Me'ava. Now, why wouldn't they tell this to all their students? because there's a danger. What's the danger? If you tell this to people, they might understand that to mean there is no reward. And there isn't justice. And in fact, there's a famous story of the consequences of someone who made that mistake. But for students that are ready to appreciate this lesson, some people, if you tell them this, they say, well, why should I bother? But for someone ready, so this is an important lesson to learn. The Rambam continues, Kol osek b'Torah kedei lekabel sachar, o kedei shelo sagia adav kurano, someone who does study Torah in order to get rewarded or is not to be punished. Hareza osek shelo lishma, v'chol osek ba, lo liyira v'lo lekabel sachar el me'avas adav kol haaretz shetziva ba, harei ze osek ba lishma, and lishma is to do it because of ahava, of the master of the world who instructed us to do these things. Ramu chachamim, li'olam yasok adam b'tara filu shalolishma, shemitol shalolishma ba'lishma. Chachamim say you should still do it shalolishma, because from shalolishma you will come to do it lishma. It's very interesting because there's two things here. Number one is li'olam, so you shouldn't think, let me wait till I do it lishma. I'm not going to do this mitzvah yet because I'm not ready to do it lishma. No, la'olam yasok adam shelo lishma. But the other thing to keep in mind, which is very important, is it's dafka because of mitoch shelo lishma balishma. In other words, the goal of doing mitzvos and Torah shelo lishma is because if you learn Torah shelo lishma, you'll hopefully get to Tar Lishma, which is a very powerful statement. It doesn't say you should do it Shalol Lishma because even if you learn Torah Shalol Lishma, at least it's valuable. At least you learn some Torah, and so it's not ideal. No, it's because Shalol Lishma will be Baal Lidei Lishma. Now, that's very important because the truth is that it's not automatic. And that's why those some types of shelo lishma, which are, Tosfos points out, totally inappropriate. Someone who learns lekanter, to make somebody else feel bad by showing off or the like. So that's not something we would encourage at all. And in general, even though we say that chitzonios on the ore, the pnimios, and doing things shelo lishma will hopefully be bali de lishma, and even will do it. That's when you have the right perspective. If your perspective is, I'm doing this shelo lishma, and I hope that by doing it shelo lishma, I will be bali de lishma. I'm not there yet. I know I'm not there yet. I need that extra, you know, if I don't think about the schar and olam haba or gehenim or whatever it is, then I can't push myself over that hurdle to do it. So then do it. Then think that it's better. But that's going to bring you to lishma if that's your attitude. But if that's not your attitude, so it's not always the case. It's not automatic that doing it shelo lishma will be ba lishma. And that's why you'll see many people that never get past the lo lishma. Lefikach, the Rambam says, therefore, kshemelamdim es haktanim es hanashim uvechlal ame haaretz ein melamdim osam elalavu miro kedei lekabel sachar ad shetir bedata v'yischak mulchach la'yaseira. Then megalim lahem raz zet me'at me'at umargilin osan le'inyan zet benachas ad shiasiguhu v'yeda'uhu v'yavduhu me'ava. So therefore, in education, when you teach children, so you encourage them through shelo lishma things, if that's what's necessary. I saw recently, and I think it was in one of those short question-answer letters that people write to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So somebody asked him, I don't remember what it was, But basically, the question was, should I give my child a prize for learning? And he says, only if, otherwise they won't learn, if it's necessary. So that's what the Rambam says you should do. But if you can get them to learn without it, so you should do that. And then the Rambam says, as they mature, as they grow older, so then, slowly, slowly, you reveal this secret to them. Meaning to say, not all at once. This is something that takes a certain degree of intellectual and emotional maturity to appreciate. And you have to know when the right time is to use those treats and encouragement, and when the right time is to stop using them. Davar yaduo barosh, ein avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nekshes belibo shel adam ad sheyishke batamid karaoi. The Ava of Hashem will never be tied to their heart until he is constantly thinking about it, working on it as appropriate. Yishkeba is from the Pasuk that says, Be'avasa tishke tamid. V'azov kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimena. And you abandon anything else, everything else in the world, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo sheziva v'amar, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha. So, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. B'chol nafshecha teaches us, even mesiras nefesh, even if one has to, one must be willing to give up their life for Hashem. That's the source that Avodah Zarah is Yehari Bel Yavor. But it's not just the Mesiras Nefesh, the literal Mesiras Nefesh, the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh of giving up one's life in the sense of dying, but also the Mesiras Nefesh when they're still alive. So you have to be willing to give everything for it. Eino oiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela bidas sheyeda'ehu. And here the Rambam says something that he says on a number of occasions, which is that Kefiya diyaso ahavaso, the Av of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intrinsically linked to our Yediyas Hashem. So one must study Hashem and study his Torah in order to build up that Ava. The Rambam writes in a number of places different things that could be done to promote Ava. For example, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, he writes about how contemplating the incredible Bria, the world, looking at amazingly beautiful things, thinking about the complexity of the human body or cell, studying biology and physics are all things that bring to Avas Hashem. And elsewhere, the Rambam stresses Torah study and the like, because all these things are things that bring us to Yediyah of Hashem. And just as the biblical word for intimacy is yadia, Adam yadas chava ishto, so that's because intimacy is closely connected with yadia, and the same thing is true with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Rambam continues, lefikach tzarech Adam liyached atzmo, lehavin ulehaskil b'chachmos usvunos, Hamodios lo eskono kefi choach sheish ba'adam la'avinu la'asig. Therefore, a person must dedicate themselves to understand the wisdoms and chachma and tvuna that are going to help him know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kefi choach sheish ba'adam la'avinu la'asig. To the extent possible, obviously, a person cannot fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is infinite and we are finite, and there's no possibility of fully understanding him. But at the same time, we must do our best to try. And there are different ways of trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam believed that through philosophy one achieves that, as well as through Torah. Other thinkers stress Kabbalah and the like, but that there be something that brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through understanding. And here, and throughout this parak, we've seen the Rambam merge the emotional and the intellectual. Someone thinks that the Rambam was this dry, scholastic philosopher, and they read the Rambam's depiction of Avas Hashem, they'll see how wrong they are. But at the same time, it's also not this fluffy, purely emotional thing. It's love that's rooted in yidia and hard work. And it's a mitzvah that integrates all the different aspects of our persona, our intellectual and our emotional, and directs them towards forming this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Biyarnu, Bilchos Yisod HaTorah, that one needs to study these things. Once we're on the topic of Ava, maybe I thought we would read and with this conclude that halacha that I alluded to in Parak Beis of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, which also refers to Avas Hashem. Other places where it's worth looking at, but we won't do today, is the Rambam and Hilchos in the Sefer Mitzvot, as well as in Ron Vuchim. But we'll read in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Parak Beis. Hakel hanechvad vanora zeh, mitzvah lahava ulira oso. There's a mitzvah to love this awesome God. Shenemar, v'havta es Hashem Elokecha, v'nemar es Hashem Elokecha tira. This is very striking, because the Rambam, generally speaking, is the ultimate organizer, and he organizes by dividing mitzvos. At the beginning of each sefer, he tells you these are the mitzvos that I'm going to discuss, and he discusses each mitzvah separately. And here he's taking two separate mitzvos and discussing them together. And that's because of a number of things. One is, we'll see that the act that is done, in this case the contemplation of the Bria, achieves both. At once a person is overcome with an intense feeling of closeness and love and desire to come close. And at the same time, when one sees God's awesomeness, he is aware of his smallness and his distance, and that's the yira. The yira that Rambam's discussing over here is not the yira that he says is less than ideal in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Yud. That was a yira of punishment. Here he's talking about yiras haromimus, which is something that's important. So one reason why he puts them together is because the same activities cause both. But there's another and perhaps more basic reason, which is that the two have to balance each other. Someone who has too much ahava can make a mistake in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're so in love with Hashem, they think, well, you know, I love Hashem, Hashem loves me, it doesn't really matter if I do this or I don't fulfill this particular halacha as instructed. You know, we're beyond that. So one needs that yira to balance it out. One can have so much yira, not ahava, that it becomes a relationship filled with fear and distance, and lacks the closeness and intimacy one's supposed to have. And we see these two sentiments frequently put together. The Rashba points out, even in every bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, we have the Nochach and Anister. We speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Atah, which is much more informal, and also in third person as well. So the Rambam continues, Eichi Aderech Lavasul Yirah. So what is the path to Av and Yirah? B'shash Yisbonin Adam B'maisev Uvurim HaNeflaim HaGdolim. When you contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible creations, V'yirah Me'em Chachmaso Shem La'erech Ve'em La'akeitz, and you see the infinite wisdom in the creation, Miyad Hu Oiv U'Meshabeach U'Mefa'er U'Mesavet Ha'va G'dola Le'idas Hashem HaGadol. Immediately you're filled with an incredible passion and desire to know Hashem. Kamo Shamar David, Tzama Nafshi L'Elokim L'Kel Chai. Now again, here too, like we said before, it's not automatic. It very much depends on your attitude going into it. Some people study science and they're blown away by the incredible Chachma and the Bria, and it brings them to Av and Yiras Hashem, and other people study science and it pushes them in the opposite direction. When you think about these matters, just as you are drawn close, you're also pushed away. The yira v'yifachayd, the yodeya shubir yaktana shvela feila omid b'da'as kala mi'uta lefnei tamim deos. You realize how small you are, how insignificant you are. Kamo shamar David ki aresha mecha masetz posecha. When I see your handiwork, I think, ma'anosh ki says karen, what is man? Okay, so we're out of time. So be'ezus Hashem, shkayach, first of all, mazel tov. I hope finishing Hilchos, double siyum tonight, Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Kibud Aveim. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we will start something new. So I was thinking of doing Hilchos Yichud for the next several weeks. I don't think it'll take us as long as Kibud Aveim. Depends how in-depth we do it. But I do think it's a worthwhile limud. I know just from this chevra here, I've gotten a lot of yichud questions over the course of the year. So I think we'll do that next, and we'll see where that takes us. So that's us Hashem next week. Have a good night. Yes.
So at a wedding, at a chuppah, I know people stand up for the chasen and kala for the grandparents.